In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You know, there's nothing, well, maybe a few things, but not many things that are worse circumstances to be in our lives than alone and lonely. I know from my own pastoral experience over the years that loneliness is something that is just so completely really denigrating to the human person. It can make you feel like you are just nothing, that you have no worth whatsoever, that there is no one to help you, to care for you, to talk with you, to befriend you about anything. I mean, it's truly a horrid, horrid situation to be in. And today, in our own lives, we see this loneliness is really, it's increasing. It truly is. Because although we've got all of this social media and everything, that same media is also advancing the idea of loneliness in many people because they feel very isolated from one another. When you're talking to someone on Facebook or YouTube, whatever it happens to be, it still adds to that sense of isolation from genuine human contact with other people. And we see this, of course, all the time. You know, everyone's probably seen it. I saw it in the courtyard of a high school one day when there were many, many kids that were outside between class, and they're all on their phones. And the amazing thing is that some of them are sitting beside each other and talking to each other via their phone. In other words, we're seeing, again, a complete disintegration of the communal fabric that we, you know, once had so deeply, even in this country. And now it seems to be something that is sort of drifting apart. And in doing so, it actually brings out many of the worst characteristics of us as human beings. Because again, as we all know, people will say things on Facebook, Instagram, all these things they would never say face to face with another person. It emboldens somehow the lesser aspects of our human nature when we're on these devices and on these platforms. And I'm not saying that everybody should, you know, get off them, or, well, maybe I am a little bit. I've always thought Facebook was a complete waste of breath and time. That's just my opinion. I know some of you are out there, you know, every time you peel a new carrot at dinner, it's up on Facebook. You know, I see these kinds of things all the time. But I think it's something to really look at yourself about, to see if, you know, it's worth putting sometimes the most intimate details of our lives that we used to keep quiet, even from our next door neighbors. I mean, you know, there were things that you never wanted to say, you never wanted to do, you never wanted to let out. And now we put them on these, you know, these little phones, not realizing that it goes out to thousands of people, and our whole lives are out there for everyone, you know, to see in all their glory and in many times all of their not so glorious moments. But all of this adds to this idea of isolation, because in many cases we're not seeing the ramifications of some of the things that we do. Other times we are. Is there any greater insult today than being unfriended? What a horrible thing. I've seen some people almost go to despair over the fact that they were unfriended by someone. I mean, who cares? I mean, if we're at this point where these sorts of things are seeping into our consciousness, we need to again re-examine our lives, and particularly re-examine our lives in terms of Jesus Christ and of the gospel that we profess. Now, this loneliness that we're seeing, and indeed we are seeing it many places. You know, you all have read the statistics about the number of people that are really depressed using some of these platforms because they see other people doing all these wonderful and glorious things, and they think that their lives are like that every minute of every day, when of course we know that just is not true. But it can lead even more to a sense of isolation, a sense of being cut off from the human family. So loneliness is a problem. But you know, our Lord is aware of these things. He's aware of them. And he is the cure for loneliness, not only now in our instance, but in the days of old also. In fact, we hear about this today's gospel, because the Lord had just finished healing the servant of the centurion in Capernaum. And then it says, and the next day he went to the city of Nain. Now, this was something he obviously went there for a specific reason. And we find out what that reason was. Because there was a woman who had lost her husband. Now, even that kind of loss in those days would have been devastating for most people. I mean, that was something really horrid to happen, to be widowed in those days. But now, even her son, who had taken care of her, who had no doubt supported her with the loss of her husband and his father, now he too had died. And the Lord sees this. This is a very interesting example of the gospel, because at this point he's not being told, well, you need to go to some place because this has happened, or would you do this for me or that for me? No, nothing of the sort. This woman never had come across Jesus Christ in her entire life. Never. But he knew her, and he knew what she was suffering from. And so he walks up, stops the funeral procession, and walks up and touches the casket. Now keep in mind too that in those days, if you touched something like that, you were considered unclean. A dead body, the thing the body was lying on, you couldn't do that. But the Lord walks up and touches the casket and says, quietly, I would think, because the woman undoubtedly heard it, young man, arise. And the man got up immediately. And not only got up, began talking. Imagine the scene, if you will. Imagine, for any funeral you've ever been to, if something like that happened. I would suggest that it would cause quite a scuffle. People wouldn't know what to think of it. Immediately the scoffers would think, well, oh gee, you know, the guy wasn't really dead. They were going to bury him. Others, like the woman herself, would know that the son was definitely dead, and now he was being brought back to life. And the murmurings began during this gospel, and finally they said, you know, a great prophet has risen among the people, because Jesus himself refers to himself as a prophet in different places in the gospel. But here it's coming from the outside, because people were so astounded by this. Not even touching the man, just touching the casket was all that it took for this man to rise. And many of the fathers of the church look at this gospel passage too, and they say that, well, we're the same way. The dead man in this casket is actually our souls, deadened by sin, wounded, nothing there. But the Lord comes and touches us and makes us to rise, not just for this life, but for all eternity. What an extraordinary scene it must have been. But it's also very important for us to realize that in doing this, the Lord is setting an example of what he was going to do. Because he would go on and he would make Lazarus rise from the dead in a much more dramatic way. Because Lazarus, of course, had been dead for 4 days. So it must have been quite extraordinary then too. But he's also telling us, as the fathers all say, I mean, there's so many that comment on this passage, especially St. Cyril of Alexandria and St. Gregory Palamas, when they say that these sorts of things that the Lord did should be a teaching to us of how we are to incorporate these things into our own lives. You know, today we heard in the epistle of St. Paul, the second epistle to the Corinthians, and he talks about how important it is for us to not take the grace of God in vain. Now, what does he mean by this? Well, I think he means, because when the grace of God is given to us, of course, we can ignore it. We're given that opportunity, because there's many ifs in the gospel and in the epistles of St. Paul. If you do this, then this will happen. If you don't do this, then this will happen. Well, here St. Paul is saying, wait, you've been given all of this. You've been given all of this as a gift. You've been given this grace to live this Christ-like life. But don't take it in vain. Meaning, first of all, don't ignore it. Don't take it for granted. But most importantly, it has to color every aspect of our lives. Everything that we do in our lives must be through the like a haze of grace that descends upon us, so that we think of these things no matter where we are, what work we may be doing, our speech especially, not only the tone of the things we say, but what we say should be colored by the life in Christ, by the gospel message. Everything that we do has to be inundated with this grace that God gives us. And as we see in the gospel, with it only being a touch to the casket, just that touch is enough for us to awaken out of our own lethargy, out of our own slumber, out of our own ignorance in many cases, and take this grace which He has given us and start putting it to use in our lives. Because it's only by doing that that we become Christ-like. It's not enough to just say it. It's not enough to just believe it. That doesn't do anything. It has to be put into action. It has to be the guiding principle behind everything that we do, every move that we make, every moment of our lives. Listen, God expects no less. Okay? He's going to be merciful. There's no question about that. But He's going to be merciful upon those people that He sees that are trying their best to live this life. He can tolerate failings if they're accompanied by repentance and the idea of getting up and going ahead and getting back into the game, so to speak. This is what the Lord is calling to us about in every page of the gospel, but particularly in this passage today, because He's showing us that He is the Lord of life and death. He is the only Lord of life and death. All the philosophies in the world, all the assumptions that we make, all the characterizations that we give to certain peoples, all these things that we talk about, that we argue about, that somehow we try to make sense of our lives, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ touching the casket is the only true thing that makes any kind of sense for our lives. That is the answer. But we have to take it upon ourselves. You know, that's the only reason that everyone in this church today is not a saint. It's the only reason. Because we don't take it inside and we don't begin to act the way that our profession of faith indicates to us. That's what we need to do, my dear brothers and sisters. This is what the Lord wants you to do. He's expecting to you. No, not even that. He's demanding that you do it because of the gift that you have freely accepted from Him. Now it's time for us to turn and show that we are worthy of these gifts that He gives us. This is what I want you to take home with you today. To think to yourselves, no matter what you're doing at any point during the day, whether you're, you know, yelling at your children or arguing with your spouse or yelling at the television set, whatever it happens to be, whether you're arguing with someone in a store because you feel like you've been ripped off, or mostly probably because of that person that cuts in front of you in traffic, understand if your response to all these things is Christ-like. If all of a sudden He showed up beside you, and you said, well, what'd you think of that, Lord? That you'd get a good answer. That's very important for all of us because He is beside you. He is there. He sees everything you're doing, every thought you have. Nothing escapes. Like the Psalms say, whether He's in heaven or whether we go down to the furthest pits of hell itself, He's there. We cannot escape him, though many of us would like to, and think that we somehow are doing things or thinking things that he's not seeing. Wrong. He's seeing all of us. So it's important for us to begin to act like we are aware of that presence every moment of our lives. And then our own interactions with the world, with the people in our lives, will also be grace-filled and touch them as well, so that the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ will just spread like wildfire, not only among us, but among all the people that we come across. Amen.